Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Genesis, please, chapter 4. We're going to start through the Bible once again and look at the prayers in the Bible and try to expand a little bit over some of them we've looked at in the past and maybe in some cases even reach a little bit, but as we do this morning. And I want to call your attention to verse 26 of Genesis chapter 4. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named him Enosh. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord. Men beginning to call on the name of the Lord. This can be translated two ways in terms of men began to pray to the Lord, is one translation. Another translation is men began to be called by the name of the Lord as sons of God and not as sons of men. And so the question for us this morning, I want to focus on a little bit, either translation you want to take, men begin to call on the name of the Lord. Are you calling on the name of the Lord? Are you a man or a woman of prayer? Now, we've had prayer before in the Bible in terms of communication with God. We, of course, had God speaking to Adam and Eve. But this is the first time that we really have a definite statement of man initiating the prayer. The other prayers up till now seem to be man responding to God. And of course, prayer is a response to God because God begins prayer in our hearts. But here we see a statement that men began to call on the name of the Lord. And what does that really mean? Well, as we look at chapter 4 up to this point is a pretty tragic chapter. It's the chapter of Cain and the family of Cain. It's the story of two sacrifices, one by Cain and one by Abel. And Cain's sacrifice was typified by pride and look at what I've raised here in my crops and so forth. Abel, on the other hand, had a very painful sacrifice here. How he must have loved the lamb and how hard it is for us. If you've ever taken a life of an animal, it's hard. It is not easy. Death is not an easy thing. And yet, Abel recognized the necessity of sacrifice, it would appear, and by faith recognized the even and the importance of the blood, it would seem. And we read that God accepted Abel's sacrifice, but Cain's he rejected. And Cain's response, often as it would be with you and I, when we're disappointed by the way God receives something that we have tried so hard to do and so forth, Cain's response was not one of contrition and humility and repentance. His response was one of anger. His countenance fell, filled with wrath, it says. And later that manifested itself in terms of hatred, and he killed his brother Abel. So we have murder right here in the very first generation after Adam. And we see the ugliness of pride and the ugliness of hatred. And then it goes on with Cain's family here in chapter 4, and we see it's a family of brutality, it's a family of hatred. We see Lamech coming along later, and he kills a man for wounding me, even a young man for hurting me. And we see here that these men are referred to as to what they do, what they are. For example, here we've got the list here of how they're really known. We have Cain, just was this man of sin. And then we go on down and we have the various sons of Cain. Cain was a vagabond on the earth. Enoch, he built a city. Jabal, he was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. Jubal was the father of all those who play the harp and flute. Tubal Cain, an instructor of every craftsman in bronze and iron, and Lamech, a killer, a murderer, And then we come finally out of the family of Cain and its evil and all. And about 235 years after Adam, we have, after Adam was created apparently, we have this son born named Seth. And it says Adam knew his wife again in verse 26 of chapter 4. And she bore a son and named him Seth, meaning an appointed one. Now you know that Eve first thought her firstborn would be of God, Cain. But it very obviously was not. And then Abel was killed. And now here maybe she's hopeful again for the messianic prophecy in chapter 3, verse 15 of Genesis to be fulfilled. And so she names him, they name him Appointed One. But we see Seth now is a godly man, not a man of sin. And so then we see the statement, then men began to call on the name of the Lord. Or the other translation, then men began to be called by the name of the Lord as sons of God and not sons of man. So either way that we look at this, it applies to us. Are we known as men and women of prayer? And if you look at it the other way, are we known as those who would be called sons of God and not sons of men? Are you primarily known for what you do or who you are? Do people look at you and say, oh, you're a builder or you're a banker or you're a teacher or you're a this or you're a that? Your occupation, is your occupation your primary identity? Or is your position with Christ, your position with God, your identity? So who are you? And who do others say that you are? Can you really say, I'm a Christian? Do people look at you and say, there is really a Christian? Are we that living sacrifice? Are we really of the family of God? Do we show forth life, real life, because we have the giver of life in us? Or are we just kind of a compromising son of man? In closing today, I'd like to just look at Exodus 33 a minute. We were reading this morning, and it just kind of struck me. Moses now has been up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. He had received the instructions on building the tabernacle and all of the things in it. He had received the Ten Commandments, the tablets of stone. And as he's coming down, getting ready to come down the mountain, we know the children of Israel were involved in this tremendous sin of making a golden calf. They said, what's happened to this guy Moses? We don't know. And they bring their gold to Aaron. Aaron was in charge, right? Although he really wasn't in charge at all. And he says, well, bring me the gold. And he throws this gold into this whatever it is, and out pops a golden calf. Amazing, huh? But Moses comes down the mountain and Joshua says, oh, I hear sounds of war. Moses says, no, it's sounds of singing. And so he gets down and they're in this debauchery and it's just such a mess. So he throws the tablets of stone down on the ground. They've already broken it before he even gets to them. They had earlier said, well, do whatever you want, you know. But they couldn't wait. And how often we are in that situation of getting impatient, I guess, as well. And so he goes and takes a golden calf and he breaks it into all kinds of pieces. He grinds it in powder and puts it in the water and makes him drink it. And then he has this time with the Lord. And it culminates in verse 13, the point I wanted to make. Moses is speaking to God and saying, now therefore I pray if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight. And I just thought those three things are so profound and fit kind of into the topic we're talking about here this morning. We have found grace because we believe. And may our prayer be, Lord, show me your way. Show me your way as it relates to me, as it relates to the church, as it relates to the nation, but primarily just show me your way. Why? That I may know you. You know, Paul, Apostle Paul said much the same thing late in his missionary career, didn't he? Not that I may know you and the power of your resurrection. That was his prayer. And so that's my prayer today, and I pray would be your prayer. Show me now your way that I may know you, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight. And he goes on, and consider this nation as your people. And then he says, and God, you've got to go with us, or we don't want to go. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are on the face of the earth. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. I believe we're all preaching to the choir here this morning. I believe we can all be assured that we found grace in his sight and that he knows us by name. But think about others around us where that is not, we're not sure that that is to be stated. Sean told me this morning that one of the pallbearers at recent memorial service we had for his father-in-law, a real biker. I guess he was one of those bikers. I know most of them were. But he passed away this last week. And just thinking about that memorial service not very long ago where attention was drawn to the fact that we would all take our last breaths, and it was so important that we would have that relationship with Jesus Christ. So may we pray for those lost, that they would find grace in the sight of Jesus, and that he would know them by name. And then Moses goes on. Please show me your glory. Then God said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So may we pray this morning, this same prayer. Lord, show me your way, that we may know you, that we may find grace in your sight. And so as we go to prayer now, may we just respond as one to the Spirit's leading in the areas of intercession that he would lead us into. Father, we thank you for this very first time prayer is really mentioned in the Bible as far as men initiating it. Men begin to call on the name of the Lord. And if we look at it the other way, Lord, men begin to be known as sons of God. May that apply totally and completely to each of us. So you've given us the power of prayer. You brought us here this morning. And we know that prayer is powerful. And so as you lead us in this time of prayer, may we be joining in one accord. And may your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.